people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars. Thank you for joining us again. We are recording, as usual, in Atlanta at Strongbox West. Today at the table we have...
Ben.
Ronnie.
Becca.
And I am Mickey, and we're going to talk about a good handful of things today, but first I want to get some housekeeping out of the way. I wanted to remind folks that we're going to be at our friend Greg's C5 car shows that are happening in the... I think the next one is happening at the Brookhaven Arts Festival on October 21. So we'll be there for that. And then we've actually got a Patreon that's up and running now. And I would invite any of our listeners to be the first donor. we've opened the door, and I have not yet contributed yet myself, but I will be. So I invite our listeners, if you like what you hear, please let us have your feedback. If you like what you hear a lot, we could use a little bit of funding because we are trying to raise money for better microphones and better recording gear. One of the things we've talked about as a crew is the possibility of doing road trips and recording the road trip and using that in our podcast, which I think would be a fun experiment. So there's additional gear we might want to raise a little bit of funds for that. But your participation makes these things possible for us, and hopefully we can have a whole lot of fun together. That being said, why don't we just jump into our topics list? And at the top of the list is the end of the Beetle. Ben, you wrote that up there.
Yeah, basically Volkswagen have announced that the current version of the Beetle is going to be going out of production pretty soon. This will be the first time since before World War II that they haven't really made anything like that. Now, to be clear, this is not the same car they've made for 70 plus years.
Well, that was going to be my question. Are they just going to shift production down to Mexico again and they'll make the same Beetle for 30 years from there?
My understanding is this model is going away.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
Now, the Type 1, the car that founded the company and established them worldwide, the cute little round rear engine one we all know and love, that actually went out of production in 2003. Mm-hmm. That was in produced in Mexico at that point.
Okay.
Now,
that was what I was referring to. They just shipped it down there and just kept making it forever.
Right. There was demand in other parts of the world, but it just no longer worked in the United States for a lot of reasons. But the current front engine, what we have for a Beetle now is basically just a Golf that looks like a Beetle. It's a front engine, front wheel drive, liquid cooled. It's a Golf with a rounder body on it, and that's been around since the late 90s.
So are you saying that a Beetle shouldn't be a Golf with a rounder body on it?
I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what it is right now.
No, I will say it should be the old version. I'm sorry. There was just something about the old version.
The Beetle should be its own independent.
Right. That's a separate thought, yes, because when it was announced back in the 90s, what they began with was a concept car they showed, I think, around 94, 95, that was called the Concept 1 that looked much like what went into production for, I believe it was the 98 model year.
Mm-hmm.
The Concept 1 was actually rear-engined, but I think it was a liquid-cooled inline 4, but still rear-engined.
Mm-hmm.
But, the Golf-derived version was not, and I was a little disappointed to see that they had just done that. Because the Concept 1 got lots of good popular response. People said, oh, that's cool, I'll buy it, And so they basically slapped it together quickly based on a Golf and started cranking them out.
But it's that other argument, it's like if you put out a car with the same, built on the same platform with a different body, Does that rob the car of any individuality? I mean, is it no longer really a Beetle? Do people drive around the Beetle saying this is really a Golf with a different body on it?
No, most owners, I don't think, care.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think most owners care, but there are some people that, it's not true to what it had been, not a true reprise of it. There's arguments for both, but it's more economical for the manufacturer and therefore easier to have it available to purchase if they are doing it that way, where they're multiple car platform.
Well, which leads me to ask then, does the world need a Beetle?
So something that I've always come across in terms of just manufacturing and development is we've been relying heavily on metrics to show us, one, what people want, and two, what is most profitable. And that kind of kills manufacturers' creativity and their element of surprise. I don't think people as a whole would have even realized that they wanted a Beetle until Volkswagen just came along and made it. And it was there, and people loved it, and they grew to love it, and so on it went. But manufacturers really aren't willing to take that risk anymore. If they do, it's some kind of sad sack. I remember there was a big push when Dodge made the Dart that it's a very affordable sports compact car, but they cut so many corners in manufacturing and development mm-hmm. that it just ended up being a turd. It's really yeah. not a reliable car. It's not fun to drive. There's nothing unique about it despite all the marketing hype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think manufacturers just kind of need to learn to go back to their roots of just making things fun again, like making things because they think it's a good idea.
Right.
But the original Beetle was not meant to be fun. It was meant to be, you know, Germany's answer to the family car, the need of the family car.
It was very economical, right. though. Yeah. I mean, at some point in its life, you could rebuild the engine for $250.
Right.
I know a lot of that is the cost of parts nowadays would change that. But it was
simple, it was uncomplicated, it was easy to get into and fix, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
And for much of the world, it was just different enough. And I think that's why it really caught on.
But it was also purpose-built. They mm-hmm. said, we have a goal in mind, cheap, economical family car. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this our way. And they did. No part of the public showed up at the Volkswagen factory and was like, hey, guys, we would really like if you would make this really bubbly thing for us. And then it should only go like 25 miles per hour, something like that.
Like, oh, yes.
The public didn't do that.
Although, I have to put an asterisk next to calling it a family car, though. It is only two doors. And yeah. having younger children, I can tell you, it kind of sucks not having four doors. So I don't yeah. know if I would say family car and
well,
with all of that. But
in the era it came about, that was not seen as a limitation.
Yeah.
I mean, you folded up your kid and you threw them in the back seat. And
they didn't have car seats and there weren't a whole lot of seatbelt harnesses for yeah. kids to get tripped up on right. and injured on trying to get in the back seat.
All right, Becca has arrived. Let's let her in the door. Hit it.
So once upon a time with old 190Es or cars that are from the 80s and 90s, you used to be able to, you know, buy some major components. Most people would let them go due to neglect. Oh, I blew my head gasket. Not a big deal. You know, take the head off, send the head to the machine shop, pop new gaskets on. If you're mechanically inclined, it's not that big of a deal. The problem starts getting in with wiring and bushings that just kind of fail without you noticing. So if your subframe bushings start to fail, certain ball joints start to fail, mainly that aren't available anymore, which is turning into a big problem. A wire gremlin pops up, and you find out that they just didn't know how to manufacture wiring back in the 80s and 90s, so you start to try and make your own custom harness. That's where having an 80s to 90s car now is a lot more difficult than it was, say, 10 to 12 years ago.
But I think those are much smaller things to really tackle than some other things that come up on newer cars. You know, when you have computer problems and the inability to program. And
so much plastic.
Yeah. So I think in the big picture, a wiring harness, I mean, yeah, you need to know what you're doing if you're going to tackle it. Or you've got painless performance, various places that you can get professional wiring harnesses from. Bushings, it seems like every time I turn around, every car is going through ball joints and bushings nowadays, which might not be true, just the ones that I, I oh, guess, yes. hang around, which is now the big three. Come on now. So I don't know. I would still think that that would be an easier issue than modern cars.
I think it would have to do with perception. Because with newer cars, well, I mean, there is the DOD issue that you have, which is seemingly never ending.
Yes.
But with older cars, I feel like someone with the wrong luck will end up having to bring their car in about once every 2 weeks as opposed to once every 6-7 months. I'm not including routine maintenance on that. Routine maintenance, everyone should know what their routine maintenance is, and maybe mm-hmm. that's going to be something that we put on the website one day. I'll give a breakdown of what routine maintenance looks like on a number of vehicles, because it's just not the same anymore. Once upon a time, you used to have your 5,000-mile service, mm-hmm. your 10,000-mile service, you know, 30,000-mile intervals, et cetera, et cetera. That doesn't really exist anymore.
And it can vary per car.
Yeah, exactly. When you have manufacturers like BMW saying, oh, oil changes, they last for 15,000 miles. And I'm not being racist, by the way. I'm just trying to be culturally accurate. That's what they sounded like when they talked to me.
yeah.
Actually, it's it. Yeah, I've heard stronger, so.
Right. So, one, it gets hard because when an engineer tells you that, you kind of want to believe them because they went to school longer and they specialize in this stuff.
But then when you see the practical repercussions of what happens to a car that has 15,000 mile oil change intervals, you start to lose faith in what they're saying because the cars do not fare well.
Well, we got onto the whole topic when Ben,
Yeah, we didn't really have a good introduction into the Mercedes that he was talking about, and we were mid...
Because Ben brought it up.
Ben brought up the...
We were paused, weren't
we? Yeah,
we
were paused. So let's go back. Ben, what brought on the Mercedes thing?
Well, so while we were paused, there was this joke about hammers and nails.
That's it.
And
some people want to be the hammer, some people would rather be the nail.
That's right. And then I said, do you remember the AMG Hammer? And it was this really, really awesome tuned-up V8 version of an E-Class Mercedes that came out in the 80s. It was really something. And that's where
all this happened. So Becca's at the table. Welcome.
Hi.
How you doing?
Other Becca. I'm good.
We're sitting next to each other again.
Right.
Yeah, but our voices are totally different.
Oh, no. It's just the last time Mickey allowed us to sit next to each other. We had too many sidebars.
No more sidebars.
We were having our own girl conversation over here.
So let's recap. I mean, we've had a little break in the recording. This is not very normal for us. We were talking about the Beetle. And then the question I want to ask then is, I guess I'm still going to ask it, does the world need a Beetle? And Ronnie's answer was, every car manufacturer should still make cars that are simply fun to drive. Is that where you're going?
I wouldn't say fun to drive because that gets to be a relative thing. I know people that have a blast driving minivans. I'm actually one of them. I think minivans are awesome. I'm going to break that stigma before I die.
And it's okay because he's a guy, so he can break that stigma.
As a stunt driver, as a race car driver, I think minivans are fantastic. They're limited to soccer moms. I mean,
I learned to drive in one. Ford Aerostar.
Okay, but my issue is I just wanted to dispel the notion and the sexism and everything else involved around the joke to women. Every time you are anywhere near the age of getting married, having kids, the constant, you better sell your car and get a minivan. So if you want to dispel that, drive it like a race car driver, you have a blast.
I only have anecdotal experiences here, but when I was of age, like when me and my friends were all in our 20s and 30s and getting married and starting to have kids, the people in my immediate social circles who have the biggest problems with that were the men. And my friend David in particular said, Mickey, I'm buying a van. I'm like, really? What kind? And I'm thinking, okay, he's getting a Ford. He's getting something really big. And he's like, I'm getting a Honda Odyssey. I'm like, oh, a minivan. He's like, no, don't call it that.
Yeah. Well, it definitely had a stigma attached to it. And there are some people that have absolutely no problem with it. And it was mostly women that were all about being the soccer mom, family mom. And, it, you know, but people like me... Who and own me. Mustangs, and yes.
And me, who's like anti all the girly shit. I wear lips are on my shirt, though.
Dave Grohl?
But it's, sorry.
Because Dave Grohl loves his Honda Odyssey, and he's not ashamed.
No.
But there very much is a stigma attached, and there's very much a sexist undertone when people would talk to people like me or Becca. It would always be the context of... You know, you shouldn't be driving a Mustang. Your job is to have babies and cart them around.
Gross. Right. But maybe if some of these dudes help break that stigma, then we could have a useful big vehicle that we can throw more junk into.
Have you seen the thing that I posted on our Facebook page with the vanning movement that's happening in Japan, where these people do these extremely tricked out vans?
Are you talking about the dodgy bomb again?
No, or? Not the dodgy bomb. This is a separate thing. This is they call it vanning, and it's more of like a rebel kind of I want to call it a movement. I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know if I should call it a movement, but check out the page, and they're like they've got ramming plates on these vans, except they're body kits. They're like extreme cartoonized body kits. Like the front splitter comes and sticks like, you know, like 1.5 meters in front of the car instead of just a few inches, right?
Giant bat wings. Right. And
The one popping into my head, what was that TV show? That guy that had the group, they would go out tornado chasing. And they had a very cartoonized type of minivan, but you know, the armor plating and the bells and whistles to chase tornadoes. And you're making me think of that one.
This is more extreme than that, just from a visual perspective. You know, imagine a minivan being tricked out with a body kit that's just a couple inches off the ground and extends in front of the boundaries of the vehicle by a meter in each direction, and has Godzilla spines.
I'd be all over that. See, that is much better. Much, much better, because one of my things also with minivans, they're just ugly, and every time they make it look kind of reasonably better, suddenly it's an SUV instead of a minivan.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, so I'm trying to find you some pictures of the event, or we could just pull up the Facebook page and find
it
there.
I'm on it. You're is on it on TikTok or the thing about cars?
Well, here's one. It's on the thing about cars, but here's one example.
Oh my goodness.
Gross. No
yeah,
way.
Not the color.
No
Get
way.
Rid of the color. But
it's
the,
like this thing we're looking at,
but this
the
is a
listeners,
heavily modified
is like
van.
That's pastel
right.
Puke you.
And
yeah.
So
I don't know,
guys,
pastel pink, purpley.
Right.
I wouldn't want that guy riding my rear end.
If I was a city hoarder, like, I wouldn't need to go to a skate park. I'd just be able to ramp
right.
off of my own van.
Right?
I mean, on the one hand, there's a part of me that looks at that and says, oh man, that is kind of cool. On the other hand, it's like, why and how do you drive it?
Yeah,
I mean,
I can never drive it.
I can only imagine that thing's on
can't
badge.
Can't get
or
over
something.
Speed bumps.
Right.
Can't.
It's got to be on badge.
It has to be. Yeah.
It has to
yeah.
Be.
Oh yeah.
And
but scroll up. The mystery machine is just above that.
Oh yeah, we'll come back.
And,
it's another
and the overall ride. Length of it, there are only so many places in Japan that could go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So the article that we posted on the Facebook's page that said that the folks who did these modifications were more of the rebellious type of. They were regarded as rebels in Japanese culture or something. In any case, how did we get on to vanning?
We are all over the place.
We are, yeah.
I think I was talking about manufacturers.
Yes.
And misconceptions about...
The minivans.
Right.
That's it.
But since fun is relative, I would say that manufacturers should do what inspired them to be car makers to begin with. I often think about what I would do if I made my own car manufacturer. And I think, you know, I would make a vehicle that did what it was supposed to do every which way. Like, I would have a practical, cost-efficient family car for the people that were in that market.
Yes.
I would have a balls-to-the-wall sports car for the people that were in that market. I wouldn't want something that's in between. I feel like there's a lot of conflict and confusion with trying to do that.
Well, I think part of the problem also is that the company gets too big for its own good.
Mm.
And, you know, you can't... I think it's a mistake to try to be all things to everybody.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And it's better to do a small menu well than a large menu with mediocrity.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
I do remember having conversations at BMW where... Someone in marketing or engineering would say, we're trying to capture this part of the Lexus market.
Yes.
And it's like, why? Lexus drivers are not BMW drivers. And sure, Lexus can say they're trying to push in on the BMW market, but BMW at a point did driving enthusiasm so well.
Like, yes.
And Lexus wasn't that. Lexus was a comfortable,
right.
reliable, long-lasting old man car. Old woman, whatever, old person car.
Oh, I'm snorting at the reliable. Sorry, I'm again thinking of the Lexus sitting in my driveway.
Right. Well, your Lexus has a particular set of its problems on its own.
A particular, specific, yes, there you go.
The driver.
The problem lies between the steering wheel and the driver's seat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're almost out of time.
Well, to kind of wrap back toward the beginning a little bit,
yes.
do we still need a Beetle? The closest thing in production to it right now, I would say, at least in terms of purpose and emphasis, would be the Tata Nano.
Okay.
It's small, it's cheap, it's designed for affordability of the masses in the market in which it exists.
Please give it a new name.
That's all.
The name of the company is Tata, and I think
yes.
Ben is absolutely correct. It is the pure essence of what an Econobox should be. And Becca, you'll be happy to know it's a four-door.
But it's like bringing a car to the U.S. and calling it a hoo-ha. I mean...
I don't think they use Tata the same way in India.
Oh, no, they
well, don't. That's why I said when they bring it to the U.S. Wait,
right.
Turn that around again so I can see it.
It's cute. It's kind of cute. It's functional. It's
cute if you
it's
if
so
you like
retarded.
Smart cars.
It
makes me
There's
think
no
of
room
going
for an
splat.
Engine.
Where is the engine, right?
It's in the back. It has to be in the back.
And Tata Motors owns Jaguar now, too, so.
Yeah.
Right. I do want to say, though, that with or the day and age of the original Beetle and the microbus and all of that, I don't know. They give me a sensation of freedom and carelessness, and just a time where people were more likely to go on road trips, pack
yes.
their stuff up, and head out to California, Midwest, wherever, kind of live out of your vehicle, a more, I don't know, a whimsical time, yes. I guess. And that's what I think of when I see them, not the new ones. So the idea of all that being gone is just sad.
Right.
I think that they should continue to manufacture the original Beetle down in Mexico, and I think that would be wonderful.
But in Volkswagen's defense, you know, we're sitting here saying that a manufacturer should not try to be all things to all people, should stick to their roots and stick to the reasons why they got into manufacturing in the first place. But on the other hand, I mean, take a look at that old Beetle. Take a look at Herbie the Love Bug. Where is the economical advantage in keeping something like that on the road?
That it doesn't cost as much as keeping a Mercedes on the road?
Which then begs the next question. Should we then not buy Mercedes?
No, because there are people out there that love the car, that have the money or the knowledge to cut costs down or what have you. It shouldn't be limited to you have three options for vehicles. It is absolutely awesome that there are so many choices out there that we can keep old ones alive or bring out new ones. It's an entire buffet. It's not...
Well, I guess the other question then is, would our conversation at this table be any different if the Beetle were simply its own thing? Like if they had taken the Volkswagen Beetle...
Separated from the company.
Separated, not even from the company, but I mean, obviously the 1970s era Beetle would have needed some improvements with modern day technology. So if they had simply taken that Beetle and improved it over time with the modern day upgrades, how different would our conversation be? As opposed to looking at the Beetle that they're now taking off the market, which is, as Ben says, a Golf with a round body on it.
I would think it would be wonderful. Honestly, as far as our conversation, I don't know. Obviously, Beetle isn't entirely in my wheelhouse of cars, but right. I mean, that being said, I mean, neither is the Jeep that I have now. But
yeah.
I think, and why not make it its own thing? And if it was produced in Mexico for so long, could it not be its own car company, and would it help their economy if they had their own car company? Not just manufacturing, but it's, you know, the money is going into right. their economy. Would it help any? And yeah, bring in improvements, modern day upgrades, and then they can manufacture and own the rights to
yep.
modification parts and what have you down there. I mean, would that even help? They
right.
they obviously are good at building the original Beetle.
Right. Well, let's call it a day right there, and we'll pick this up again. I think there's it's a topic we're going to end up revisiting from time to time anyway.
Sure.
So this has been the thing about cars. Thank you for joining us. Just wanted to point folks again to our Patreon page. If you like what you hear, please check us out on our Patreon page. It is patreon.com/thethingaboutcars. We are doing some fundraising to try to get new gear, better microphone, and again, possibly looking into the possibility of doing road trips. So it would be fun if we could record those. What am I forgetting, you guys? Anything? We'll see you at the C5 Car Show at the Brookhaven Arts Festival on October 21. We are recording, as always, at Strongbox West Atlanta, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye. See ya.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.